There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I am Rob, and welcome to another show of RFF Radio. What episode number are we on right now? 394. We're on 394.
6 away from 400.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that. We're 6 weeks away from episode 400.
We're going to have to do something special for 400.
Oh my god.
Going to have to do something big time.
Is 400 our retirement party?
No, I still got plenty of gas in the tank.
Oh, God. I think 1,000. I am putting a cap on 1,000 shows. When I do 1,000 shows, I'm done.
1,000's fair. That's what? Another 12 more years or so?
Yeah.
That would put us right Gunsmoke as being the longest running franchise.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna cap it at 1,000. Do you think in 12 years Survivor and the Amazing Race are still gonna be on TV? I don't.
Survivor will, Amazing Race won't be. Survivor will be hosted by Colby Donaldson at that point, but it'll still be on TV.
I don't know.
You kidding me? Why would Survivor be on TV? Ratings are still good. You only have to pay the winner of the show $1 million. Yeah, I mean, that's why I've always argued Survivor has, you know, when you think about how much it costs, let's say, I bet the cost of airing Survivor, I don't know how much it costs to air How I Met Your Mother, but I would be willing to bet it's prohibitively more expensive than Survivor, right?
Oh.
You're only paying the winner of Survivor $1 million. How I Met Your Mother, you gotta pay Jason Segel, Allison Hannigan, Neil Patrick Harris. They're all stars. They're all commanding, you know, probably at least $500,000 per episode, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what they make.
When you think about it, Survivor's got one of the best cost structures in the business.
Yeah, but I just don't know if it can last 12 more. That is 24 more. Do you seriously think that we're going to see Survivor 50? Fucking New York City.
I mean, the show constantly changes cast, right? So it's not, you never really have to worry about, the only person you have to worry about is Jeff Probst. Can the show survive without Jeff Probst? And we've had this argument like 100 times before. I think you could just slot somebody else right into Jeff Probst and it wouldn't even matter.
I don't think so. And by the way, NPH makes $210,000 per episode.
Yeah, $210,000 per episode. 22 episodes in the season.
Yeah, that's a lot of chunks. That's a lot of change.
That's just MPH too. What is Allison Hannigan and Jason Segel pull down per episode?
Yeah, I don't know. I just did like highest paid TV stars. They're not making 210. They're probably making 100.
Yeah, 100 is still $2 million for each of them. And then the other two, Ted Mosby and Robin Schabotsky, they're definitely the least paid of that.
How did either one of them? Okay, so me and Ty are watching. We started on episode 1 of How I Met Your Mother, and we're going to go through the whole series that's on Netflix. There's like 126 episodes.
I recommend it. It's a great show. It's one of my favorite sitcoms on TV right now.
How did Ted Mosby get that role? Because I've never seen him in anything else.
My hunch is that when they were doing the casting of that show, they thought Ted Mosby would be the breakout star, when really it became Jason Segel.
Yeah. I'm just looking to see what else he's been in. Not another teen movie in 2001.
I can't recall anything else before that show, at least.
I mean, he's done, like, he's been the voice of Ted Mosby on Family Guy.
No, I mean, when they originally started that show, the big stars were Neil Patrick Harris and Allison Hannigan, right? Neil Patrick from Doogie Howser and Allison Hannigan from American Pie.
I would argue that Jason Segel was pretty famous before that show.
That's true. Jason Segel did that show that...
Segel, whatever.
Fuck, I forget the name of it. I forget the name of it, but it was pretty decent. It had a lot of pretty big-time people on it. It was only on for like 13 episodes, but it was pretty good.
Okay, so How I Met Your Mother started in 2005. He did Forgetting Sarah Marshall in 2008.
Great movie.
Yeah, he was in Undeclared, Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. That was the show.
Yep.
That was a good show. It should never have been canceled.
Slackers. This looks like a hell of a great movie. He was in Slackers.
But I mean, most of Jason Segel's success came after How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had success.
Him a lot more now than they did season one.
He had success before that, but Ted Mosby did not have success before that. His name is Josh Radnor, by the way.
Oh, they probably paid Bob Saget a decent amount. Because he's the voice of the future Ted Mosby.
He's not making that much. He's probably... If he's making $20,000 an episode for that shit, he's making too much money.
You should be the negotiator for the studio. Listen, Bob, I'm not paying you more than $10,000 an episode.
Yeah, I mean, I can fucking narrate that show. I mean, why did they have to have Bob Saget narrate it? Why are we talking about How I Met Your Mother? We've got Survivor to talk about. Plus, we have the continuing argument of can Survivor last without Jeff Probst?
Absolutely. Yeah, we might have to save that for a slow week. Because this week was not a slow week. All right, I'm going to come right out and say, I think Malcolm made a mistake.
Why? How?
Here's my thing, right? There's 10 people left on the show. He had 2 immunity idols, and he had just 1 immunity, right?
This was more of a show of force. This was a shock and awe of Malcolm's ability to play this game. Idols,
with 2 idols in his pocket, let's say he lets Eddie go home, right? Basically, him and Reynolds, Malcolm with 2 idols in his pocket could easily have won just about every other immunity challenge for the rest of the season. He could have basically gotten to the final 4 by himself.
Yeah, but again, this is a show of force. It was a show of force to say, hey, look at the power that I can wield still in this game. There are 3 of us. There are, what, 6 of you guys left? How many were there? 1, 2, 3,
there's 7. Nice. Now there's 6.
Yeah, there's 7 of you guys left. There's 3 of us. Look at what we can do. We just cut off the head of the snake.
I see, and I don't think they did cut off the head of the snake. I think getting rid of Philip is actually going to unite the other 6 more.
I don't disagree with that, but they were just tired of Philip. Philip's a freak. Philip, did you see?
But the... I understand Malcolm was breaking out the testicles. And, yeah, he always plays. I like how he plays with his balls.
Yeah.
Always makes big moves. That was a big move, right? Because he basically controlled that vote, got rid of Philip, got the numbers down to 6-3. But here's my point. It's still 6-3 in the numbers. And now, at most, there's only going to be 1. I mean, they're not going to rehide 2 idols. They're only going to hide 1 idol, right? So, at best... He's not going to get 2 people to flip from a 6-person alliance.
Why not?
There's
why
no
not?
Reason why
Eric,
2 people...
Eric showed, and the Puffy Taco in the chat room says, Eric quickly showed how much of a flip-flopper he is because he ended up voting for Philip.
Even if Eric flipped, he still need 1 more person to flip.
Sherry.
You're not getting
Sherry.
Brenda. You're
fuck
not
it.
Getting Don.
Bring
you're
Sherry
not
over.
Cochran. You really think Sherry's going to flip now and join Reynolds and Eddie?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because,
why would you
because,
do that? That makes no sense for her game to do that.
Because Reynolds and Eddie can say, look, you can be a power player in this game. They can play on her emotions and say, you are going to be a power player. Let's flip with us and let's take out Dawn. Let's take out Cochran. Let's take out Andrea. Let's take out Brenda. You can help us do that. And Sherry's going to go, ooh. Yeah, I want to play this game. And she's going to flip. You have Eric and you have Sherry. It's as simple as that. This was a show of force to get people on his side, and Malcolm has succeeded.
What possible incentive would Sherry have to flip and join the four best individual immunity challenge players? That makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense for her to do that. If she does do that, then she's not nearly as savvy as I thought she was. She's far better off getting down to six, with the other five being Cochran, Dawn, Brenda, Andrea, and then possibly Eric. And if Eric flips, that's even better, because then she's in with the four other weak challenge players.
I'm telling you, Sherry is going to be the pivotal vote this week. And they are going to play on her emotions of, you need to play this game. You need to make a big move. And Sherry has just been waiting for that, for somebody to come to her and say, you need to make a big move. And
she despises Reynolds. They openly have campaigned against her. How can they possibly go to her and say, why don't we realign? We're in this to the end. I mean, there's no way. I just don't see how you're going to get two people to flip. I just don't see it happening. You could talk me into maybe Eric doing it. But even then, I think Andrea can kind of just talk Eric into doing whatever she wants.
Eric doesn't know what he wants. That's the problem with Eric. He doesn't have a clue as to what he wants.
I get the sense that Eric is going... Eric's not a rock-the-boat kind of guy. Eric's going to go with wherever he thinks the majority is going.
Yeah, and if they can get Sherry.
And if Cochran, Dawn, Brenda, and Andrea say, we're all still voting together, then why would Eric join a lot? If you're Eric, again, it makes a lot more sense to be competing with Cochran, Dawn, and Brenda for immunity challenges than it is to go up against Reynolds, Eddie, and Malcolm.
Yeah,
I mean,
I feel like Eric.
It makes no sense for anybody to align with those three. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Eric's out there to make friends, and he wants to be friends with the bros, man. He wants their approval, and I think that's where they get him. And Sherry, they're going to convince her that it's time to make a big move, and that's going to get her.
There's a difference between making a big move and costing yourself $1 million.
Yeah, but Sherry, I don't think Sherry's smart enough to know the difference.
Sherry's pretty bright. I mean, that's been her one calling card. She's a smart player. And a smart player doesn't make a decision to abandon an alliance of weaker people that has the numbers to go with an alliance of stronger people that has less numbers. It makes no sense whatsoever on paper. Anybody who sketches this out for her on paper, I just don't see it happening.
A smart person would have cut Shamar loose long before he became a liability. A smart person would have cut Shamar loose before he became a liability. And he became a liability for her. She has not been in this game since the moment Shamar left.
But she's still in the game. She's already made the jury.
Absolutely, but what I'm saying, though, with that... What I'm saying is, she hasn't been a power player in this game, and she wants to be a power player.
How are you going to be a power player when you're in an alliance with three other guys who are going to win every single individual immunity challenge? What power are you ever going to wield?
Because you're on the side of the minority. I mean, people love the underdog. And I don't know. I just think that they're going to play on her emotions and get her to flip that way.
I think what you're seeing right now is the numbers are 6-3, and the producers are like, we got to throw some commercials in here, thinking this is a classic swerve job. They're trying to get us think that these people are going to flip. I just do not see how, why Sherry or Eric or anybody else in that Alliance of Six would flip. And if they were going to flip, why wouldn't they voted properly during that final vote?
True.
Right? You throw your votes the way it's supposed to go. You vote for both Malcolm. You vote for Malcolm, Reynolds, Nettie, or however they voted. You vote for two of them. And then if they vote for Philip, Philip goes home. So that showed to me, at least, that there wasn't any cracks, that they knew exactly how to vote, even without talking to each other.
Oh, there was a lot of talking. Let's not fool ourselves here. There was a lot of talking going on at that tribal council.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a team huddle, though.
No, oh, it was as close to a team huddle as you're ever going to get at Tribal. I want to talk about Philip, because I think Philip signed his own death warrant in terms of being just annoying around camp.
Well, I mean, Philip didn't help himself. I mean, I'm sad to see Philip go, because I thought he was a great character on the show. I don't know. To me, this is really just a make or break move from that Malcolm made, right? It's either going to work out or it's just not, right? And the only way it really works out is if he gets two people to flip this week.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't, right? So even they're only putting one idol back out in the field. So if he needs one of his three to win immunity and another one to find the idol. But even if he does that, they can still split the votes and then one of his tribe mates goes home. So really, the only way this truly works out for him is if this causes two people on that other side to say, you know what, maybe it's time for me to switch alliances. And I just can't see that happening. I just don't see why any of the other six people would bother, would switch. I can't fathom a possibility as to why somebody would think that's a good idea.
Because Philip isn't there to rally the troops. I know I gave Philip a lot of shit. Philip
not being there is actually probably helps them, right? Because it takes out the maybe I'll switch just because I want to avoid him off because he's annoying factor.
Yeah, I mean, he got voted out because he was annoying. Did you see the puddle of mud he left in that pool at the reward challenge? That was disgusting. Yeah. That turned a lot of people off.
That was uncalled for. That was definitely uncalled for.
So, he just does not have a good social game. And that is what sunk Philip in the end. He just has a terrible social game. Corinne is
You make the argument that him being as annoying as he was is what caused Malcolm to pull that move, right? Because I'm still not certain that was a great move by Malcolm, right? I still think you get down to 10. If Eddie goes home, you're down to 9. If you're down to 9 and you're sitting with two idols in your pocket, that means you're at least getting to 7 if you don't win in another immunity challenge. If you're Malcolm, you have to think you're going to win at least one or two more. So basically, those idols in your pocket, you could get down to 4 or 5 without really sweating it.
Yeah, but Malcolm needs support to get to the end, and he has the support of Eddie and Reynolds. And why would he get rid of some of the support structure around him? He needs that to get to the end. You cannot cut off your nose to spite your face, as they always say. And that's what would have happened if he set Eddie free.
He could have gotten to the end without them with two idols. Are you kidding me?
I don't agree.
If Reynolds and Eddie go home, all he needed to do, let's say Eddie goes home, right, and you're down to 9. All he needs to do is get down to the final 3. Two idols in his pocket? No, without Reynolds and Eddie there? You mean to tell me you don't think he would have run off 3 or 4 straight individual immunities?
Nobody ever has, and I don't think anybody ever will be able to play this game from 10 people down to the final 3 or 4.
Ozzy basically played it like that. Ozzy had stiffer competition because when Ozzy did it, Yule was around.
Ozzy had some support around him, though. You cannot play this game by yourself.
Basically won out because Yule and those, that was the season with Yule on it. He was trying like a madman to get Ozzy off the show.
Ozzy didn't win. I mean, as many reward challenges as he, or immunity challenges that he won, he still didn't win the game. You cannot get yourself to the final four by yourself. I just don't believe that it's possible.
I don't know. I think Ozzy got to the final three. He just didn't win in the final vote off.
Because he didn't have any game. I mean, can you, if I was on the jury, I don't know if I could reward a person who won 10 immunity challenges in a row to get there to the finals. I want somebody who plays the game a little bit more in depth than that.
I don't know. I think you'd have a pretty compelling argument if you won 5 or 6 individual immunities in the season.
I just don't believe you can play this game by yourself, and I think Malcolm knows that. And I think it was their smart move to keep some support around him because, again, this was, like you said, he played with his balls. He threw his big nuts out on the table, and he's like, suck 'em, motherfucker. And he's walking away with some power now, I think.
You know what's going to be interesting is the moment that the ass crack of dawn shows up, I think all 9 people are going to be scattered for the immunity idol, right?
Oh, I think so, too.
I think Philip and all those guys made a very big tactical mistake by not even bothering to look for it. They're like, we have 7 in our alliance, we're going to kick it. And the only people that walked around looking for it were Andre and Don. The other 5 were basically working on their suntan.
And you know what? Philip getting rid of Corinne ended up, I mean, well, I guess Philip did vote for Corinne.
Philip was one of the instigators of getting rid of Corinne.
Yeah. I mean, if Corinne was around, she could have said, hey, Malcolm's got another idol. He has 2 idols.
Yeah, that was a brilliant vote off, though, getting rid of Corinne. She was getting ready to try to run the game.
She was getting ready to try to run the game, but
Corinne actually acted a week earlier than she should have. She should have gone along with the program, right? And she probably, you know, if she does that, she's probably still in the game, and Sherry's probably out right now.
But this is why you need to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Because if Philip would have treated Corinne with a little bit more respect, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but now Philip can always say he's outplayed Corinne in the game of Survivor.
That's true. That is true. But I just feel like this is all on Philip. This is all on Philip.
So now, how do you see it? First off, not for nothing, but it feels like the last 2 individual immunity challenges were definitely tailor-made for a strong physical competitor, right?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, because Brenda and who was the other one in the Andrea had no chance of winning this immunity challenge.
They had no chance. It was scary. You're right. Brenda's probably the best physical competitor left out of the 6 of them, other than Eric, maybe. But I'm not certain that Eric is that much better if he is better than Brenda in these individual immunities. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it bothers me that it just seemed like that challenge was set up for a Malcolm or Reynolds win.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that happens all the time on this show.
Yeah, but I feel like you have to do. I like the challenges better where it combines both a physical and a mental element.
Yeah,
and like if it's just a purely physical challenge, then you're basically almost handing it to like a Reynolds or Malcolm. At least put a puzzle at the end or something.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is with these shows, and I hate to even say it because I love Survivor. I love, as much as I shit on it, The Amazing Race is fun to watch. I love Big Brother. But I mean, to have these challenges, and I mean, you're not really surviving. You're playing. You are literally playing a game like Monopoly. I mean, there are all these outside influences that change the game and make it interesting. They're making a television show in the end. So I guess I don't really blame them if they are fucking manipulating the challenges for certain people to win. More power to them, because it makes a fucking awesome television show.
So now, what do you have happening? Who do you think goes home next week, and how does it play out?
I really think that Eric and Sherry flip, and Cochran goes home.
I don't see that happening. I think it's a swerve. I think Eric and Sherry stay firm. I see Malcolm or Reynolds winning.
Was that not an inappropriate bell joke?
I see either Malcolm or Reynolds also finding another individual immunity.
Oh, I do too. I agree with that.
But I see Eddie going home. I'm going to say Malcolm wins the challenge. Reynolds finds the idol. Eddie goes home.
Yeah. Yeah, they're agreeing with you in the chat room, too. East York Reality Fan says, winning immunity challenges may help you get there, but if you don't have the people who will vote for you on the jury, you're screwed. And that's true. But Puffy Taco said something earlier that that means they should win. If you're winning that many immunity challenges, you should win. And Davey says Eddie would have been in that challenge if he hadn't run over it like a moron.
Yeah, that was a definite brain fart.
God, he had it. I mean, he had it. But anyway, good. I'm looking forward to this week. I look forward to every week. But Davey says Propes. It says next episode is another good one. So another solid season of Survivor. Really, I'm quite happy.
Next week's episode is a good one.
That means Cochran goes home. That's all it means.
See, I think if you asked me who's winning this game right now, who do I think is going to win $1 million, I would probably say Cochran.
I would have said Dawn up until her batshit crazy breakdown. I mean, she has lost her mind.
The two people in the best position to win this game right now, I would say, are Cochran and Brenda.
Oh, Brenda doesn't have a chance.
They're in the power alliance. They're well liked.
I just don't see Brenda.
Yeah,
I would
say Andrew would probably be my third choice, but I would say Cochran and Brenda right now are should be feeling pretty good about their chances.
Brenda hasn't done shit.
Especially, yeah, she's in the power alliance though. She basically talked Dawn down off the ledge last week.
No, she did.
She hasn't won an immunity challenge. Though I have a hunch, and this is just from watching her first time on Survivor, that she watched herself on TV and was like, I was a little too aggressive in challenges, a little too aggressive socially. I'm going to dial it back, just be a nice person, kind of fly under the radar. Join a powerful alliance and just stick it out, stick around and try to win this at the end.
And the Puffy Taco brings up a great point. Being in the alliance, in a power alliance, doesn't mean you've done anything. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. It doesn't mean that
you have to be in a power alliance means you can get to the end when you can do something. Right? I think sometimes just want to get into the right alliance, get down to like the final five or six. And then, you know, go for the glory vote off or go for the individual immunity, right? When you get down to five or six, then say, you know what? Now I'm going to try to put the knife in Cochran's back.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Now we're down to five. I'm going to try, if you're Brenda, this is what you got to be thinking. Once I get down to five, I'm grabbing Dawn and Andrea and we're voting Cochran off this island.
Yeah, Cochran has got some work to do to win. I mean,
I think it actually, while Cochran wants Malcolm, Reynolds, and Eddie off the show as soon as possible, it actually behooves him for one of them to get to the final five with him.
Yeah.
Because the moment those three are gone, I think he instantly becomes the number one target of his own alliance.
Probably. You're probably right. All right, well, we're moving on from Survivor. Kind of bored with that. I'm kidding.
So now, The Amazing Race.
The Amazing... Dodgeball Bacon sequel. Anthony. There's a Dodgeball sequel coming out. I'm just reading Yahoo News.
Bates and Anthony barely survive. Mona and Beth, non-elimination leg. One of the five most predictable non-elimination legs in history. I knew it was going to be a non-eliminator, too. And I was just watching. I meant to mention that last week on the show. They always do a non-elimination leg in the first episode when there's only five teams left. It's like a common practice.
Yeah, it really is. And Bates and Anthony, where did they lose? I mean, I didn't really see them stumble along the way that much, but they lost a lot of time.
I have a hunch. And I wish they somehow would have posted this on the internet, how far the teams were behind the first place team. I wouldn't be stunned if Mona and Beth and Bates and Anthony are less than 20 minutes behind the first place team.
Yeah, it just seems like they didn't have a lot of stumbling throughout the leg. I mean, Mona and Beth and Bates and Anthony probably in some sort got lost, but I didn't think that Bates and Anthony lost that much time. What's that?
Didn't seem drastic, though.
No.
I don't think I bet Mona and Beth aren't more than 20 minutes behind Max and Katie. They both basically crossed the finish line in the dark, so it wasn't like one team crossed in like the mid-afternoon, you know, and it's already getting dark when the other team crosses. I don't think they're that far behind.
Max and Katie flew through the challenges, though. I mean, I will give them credit. They really powered through these
challenges. They're beginning to come into their own. And you were the one that said they could still win this season.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that last
year? Yeah, I did. I still believe that.
That was your horse.
I still believe in Joey and Megan. As much as everybody hates them, I still believe in Joey and Megan.
I was about to say. I actually feel a little bad for Joey and Megan because they're actually more likable than I wanted them to be, I guess, right? You know, when you read YouTube posts, you're kind of like, oh, who are these two, right? They're actually not all that bad.
No, they're terrible. They're terrible. People hate them. People do not like Joey and Megan.
No, people absolutely hate Joey and Megan. I don't think they're as bad. I think that part of the problem is, like, they're not, you know, an electrician and his wife, right? You know, they're not somebody you can really get behind.
No, they're not somebody you can cheer on. They're annoying, but I think the edit is much worse than what they really are.
Well, and Amazing Race fans, I think, are somewhat appalled by that casting selection. Because it feels like a forced cast, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It feels like the producers just went out and casted, you know, that people prefer when, like, Joe Common Man is casted for The Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Amazing Race is a Sunday at 8 o'clock show, right? It's a show that people sit down and watch with their families and whatnot, and they don't want to see YouTube hosts. No. They want to see Carpenter and his wife. Or Plumber and his wife, or
Chuck and Winona.
Yeah, they want to see two regular people running the race. And yeah, I feel I don't know. I think we pile on the Amazing Race producers. We really do. We do everything but send them like notes of what we think should happen during the casting session. Right now, the people at CBS are like, oh, here they go again criticizing the casting process.
I would challenge. I know nobody cares or listens to our show, and that's fine. But I challenge the Amazing Race. I challenge those producers to let you and I pick. I'm not saying you and I be on the show. I'm saying let us make one casting decision. Let Rob and Trevor have one casting decision. Let us do that, and let's see what kind of team we can pick and how entertaining they can be.
I guarantee we would pick the team. The team we'd pick would be the most popular team on the show, because we know exactly what the fans of the show want to see. They all listen to our radio show. They all post on the realityfanforum.com message board.
Yeah.
There's more amazing race fans that post and listen to our show. And I can tell you, they don't want to see Joey and Megan YouTube posts.
No,
they don't. They want to see Joe Truck Driver and his wife, you know, Miss Domestic Engineer, right?
Yeah.
They want to see a loving couple that's a regular, you know, salt of the earth.
No. You know, this is where you and maybe Rob gets a casting decision and Trevor gets a casting decision, because I would pick a team that hates, kind of, they're married, but there's some deep-seated hatred between the two that filters over into other teams where they can join forces and hate other teams together. That's who I would cast.
My casting call would be like a Joe Common Man from
Nope.
The middle of America. That people can really get behind. I wouldn't want something too, like, Chuck and Wynonna were good, don't get me wrong, but there's just a little bit eccentric to them, right? It seemed kind of a touch contrived, although it wasn't. They're pretty regular people. But I'm talking, you want to have one team casted every season that reminds the viewers of themselves, that they can put themselves into that team that's running the race.
Rob and Trevor would not cast Rob and Trevor. I would not be on the Amazing Race. I would not do it.
we wouldn't see, because if we can, we would be like the YouTube post. People wouldn't like us.
Yeah. The Puffy Taco says Trevor's casting would put me to sleep. I kind of agree. You need somebody who kind of hates each other, who will argue with each other and make great television, but that they can get behind a team and really hate and bash on camera with. You need some controversy in the show, and that's who I would cast. Like a Jonathan and Victoria.
No, I see Jonathan Victoria is too over the line. You do want to look for somebody like Colin and Christy, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good.
That was a very good team, pretty hateable, but decently normal.
Yeah.
Right? Colin was just a little bit arrogant, rubbed people the wrong way, but he was really good also. So he was a little like a Kobe Bryant almost, right? Just a dominant competitor. Who kind of knew that he was very good.
They
right?
kind of hated that, each that, other. They hate. They kind of hated each other and screamed at each other during the challenges, which that's what you need. You know, some nagging woman standing along the side going, "Hurry up, Colin, you gotta get this roadblock done." You know, you gotta have that. You gotta have that. It makes for riveting television.
And here's the thing, if you're gonna cast...
Dave, you're breaking up, Trevor, but I got to read. Sadly, Davey says you're describing Brendan and Rachel. And that's very true. Describing Brendan and Rachel to a T. East York Reality Fan says they should have a season where people randomly draw for teams for each other. That would be kind of interesting, but I don't know. Trevor, we lost Trevor. The internet is down. Looks like maybe the Skype connection is gone. Maybe I've lost internet. Maybe I'm sitting here with no internet right now. That's nice. Me doing a show by myself with no internet. It's recording. So, yeah. Might have to just get Trevor on the phone here and put him on speaker and talk to him. But I have lost internet, ladies and gentlemen. This is my problem. So I wonder what in the world is going on. I'm going to get Trevor on speakerphone here, and we're going to wrap this show up. We'll wrap this show up. So now, I don't know. I really don't know why I lost internet suddenly, but I have no internet. The live show's gone. I can't even pull up Google right now.
That's so good.
Yeah, no kidding. So Trevor's on speakerphone on my cell phone right now. You know what?
Where do we get cut off?
Just a second. Hold on, 1 second. I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to see if I can plug you into... Can you still hear me? I can't hear... Just a second. Hold on, Trevor. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe my internet's back. Hold on. I'm going to try to call you on Skype. Okay. Stupid internet. Yeah, it still says there's a problem between us. Yeah, I lost internet, guys. I don't know what happened. Davey says it must be one of the weekly power outages in Nebraska. That's probably it. So I'm going to try to get Trevor back on the line. I talked to him on my speakerphone here for a second. And I'll see if I can get him back on the line. No video on the drop cam. You might have to hit pause on the drop cam do I have...
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Well, that's Skype for you right there. We'll try to get Trevor back on the line.
Get cut off.
Well, I was saying that my casting call was like Brendan and Rachel.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think that we could do a better job at casting than they can. That's just my thing.
I just don't think the season is particularly well cast at all, to be honest.
No.
The only team I could really get behind was Chuck and Winona. And Pam and Winnie I was rooting for to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But really, I don't know. Everybody else just kind of, nothing really appealed to me.
No. I'm tired of Caroline and Jennifer drooling all over Bates and Anthony. That's getting old.
God, don't they realize they're in a race for $1 million?
Yeah. No, I guess not. I guess not. They just
wanted... I mean, it is brilliant for Bates and Anthony to stick around with them, because Carolyn and Jennifer will never beat them to the finish line.
No.
In the race.
No, nor will they ever double U-turn them.
Yeah.
Which is coming up this next week. I don't know.
Yes.
What are your predictions for next week, and then we're going to end this atrocity for a show because of fucking internet
connection. Well, Mona and Beth have the speed up, right? That's going to be a problem.
That's going to be
a
problem.
If you're Max and Katie... Actually, if you're anybody that's in front of Bates and Anthony, do you U-turn them?
Absolutely, you U-turn them and hope to save Mona and Beth.
Will they be U-turned?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope Joey and Megan or Max and Katie are smart enough to U-turn them.
I mean, I would U-turn them. I think you have to. I think they've won four legs on the show already. If you don't U-turn them and you're ahead of them now, you're not playing to win.
No, you're a damn fool.
You U-turn them, you hope you eliminate them this episode.
Right, exactly.
If they hate you for the rest of the season, so be it. But you have to, if you're Max, if you beat them to the U-turn, you must use the U-turn on them.
Yeah.
Now, here's another question. If Caroline and Jennifer and Bates and Anthony get there before Joey and Megan or Max and Katie, actually, here's the big question. Will the U-turn be used this week?
Oh, it's a double U-turn. Somebody's going to use it.
Who uses it on whom?
Max and Katie double or U-turn Bates and Anthony. I bet Joey and Megan U-turn Caroline and Jennifer just because they're too close with Bates and Anthony. And Caroline and Jennifer go home to save their boys.
I can see that happening. I can see that happening. I'm not convinced that I'm convinced that the five teams currently racing right now are more than 20 or 30 minutes apart. So really, I think it's going to be very interesting to see who gets to that U-turn first.
The Puffy Taco says, can someone double U-turn Joey and Megan twice so that they have to do each challenge twice?
I'm telling you, Joey and Megan are just truly... I haven't found one person... I'm actually trying to stick up for Joey and Megan. Because they're just getting so killed on messages.
Yeah, they really are. Everyone does not like
them. And I'm going to throw this out here because I wasn't a big fan of theirs at the beginning of the season. I know they're kind of a contrived casting decision. I know they can be a little whiny and annoying at times.
All the time.
I feel like they're not as bad, though, as people are...
There are people who have made them out to be. I'm just going to say that.
I feel like
they're getting destroyed.
As people,
and I think there's far worse teams that have been on the show that haven't been destroyed nearly as much.
As people, I would say they're probably not as annoying in real life, but on the show, they're just getting a terrible annoying edit.
Yeah, they are. I mean, their edit has not been great. No, say that. It's been pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah. So who do you have going on
next? I'd like to have them on the show, though, to see what they think about their own edit.
Yeah, that's true. I could try to get Joey and Megan on. Who do you have going home next week? I'm tired of doing the show.
it's really tough to not say Mona and Beth.
It is, but Davey said in the chat room, can you name the last time anybody had a problem with a speed bump?
No, but it's really tough to pick somebody who has to do a speed bump, though.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe Mona and Beth survive. I'll say Mona and Beth survive. And Caroline and Jennifer go home.
I think it's time for them to go home, too.
That gets Mona and Beth to the Final Four, and I would say Mona and Beth are probably the most popular team with the fans left on the show.
Probably.
And they do feel like they've been getting a Final Four edit.
Yeah.
To say.
Yeah. All right, well, I've had enough troubles with computers and shit today. I'm done with this show. I've had it. It's 10 o'clock. It's time for bed. How can people get a hold of you?
They can catch you at Trevor, rffradio.com.
I'm Rob at rffradio.com, twitter.com/RobRFF, and facebook.com/RobRFF. Sorry for all the technical troubles and details tonight, people. I don't know. My internet, Trevor's internet, we had all kinds of internet troubles tonight, but hopefully next week it'll be better. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week. Don't watch too much reality TV. Oh, well, to hell with it. Watch too much reality TV. We'll talk to you next week.